One of the things that the Bible is very clear about is that God is in charge of history. When you look at the kings of Israel and Judah, it was God who raised up and brought down each one of them. All of those kings, both good and evil, had both their reigns and their works providentially established by God to accomplish God's purposes. One of those purposes was to teach us important truths and principles. And we'll see that in this lesson that Stephen called A Parade of Royal Heirs.
Someone once said, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. Well, that's often true. History can actually be a wonderful teacher so long as we pay attention to the details and learn some of the lessons along the way. Now, today, we're going to cover literally more than 120 years of history. In just a few chapters here in the book of 2 Kings, we're going to watch what I'd like to call a parade of royal heirs. 6 kings of Judah and 8 kings in the northern kingdom of Israel. Today I want to focus on the southern kings of Judah, the same period of history is covered in chapters 22 through 28 of the book of 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to refer at times to that passage. And by the way, 2 Chronicles traces only the history of the kingdom of Judah. Now, you might remember from our last study that Jehu was God's instrument to bring the wicked dynasty of King Ahab to an end. Jehu not only killed King Joram and established himself as king over Israel, but he also killed Judah's king, Ahaziah. And now the focus of Scripture turns to Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah. She's the wicked daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Well, she immediately takes the throne here after her son, Ahaziah, is killed by Jehu. And that isn't all. 2 Kings chapter 11, frankly, opens with a bloodbath. Verse 1 says of Athaliah, "She arose and destroyed all the royal family." In other words, to secure power for herself, she actually murders her own grandchildren, if you can imagine that. And let me tell you, this is more than a vicious power grab. This is actually the devil's attempt to wipe out any descendant from the line of David, the line God had promised to endure. Now, Athaliah succeeds in seizing the throne of Judah, but she isn't completely successful in eliminating all of her potential rivals. In fact, we're told here that King Ahaziah's sister is able to hide her infant nephew, Joash. Verse 3 tells us that Joash remained with her 6 years, hidden in the house of the Lord, while Athaliah reigned over the land. So what that means is the last of David's descendants is being protected by the Lord's providence. Well, now the plot thickens. Joash turns 7 years old, and a godly priest named Jehoiada secretly gathers support, anoints Joash as Judah's king. Athaliah finds out, and she begins screaming, "Treason! Treason!" But, well, she's captured and quickly executed, and Jehoiada calls the nation now to renew their covenant with the Lord. We're told over in the parallel account here in 2 Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 17, all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down. And here's the lesson from history for us today. The plans of God are never crushed by the plans of Satan. Now, we're given some wonderful news here. Joash, who was also known as Jehoash, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, back here in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 2. Now, there's a hint of a problem over here in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 2, because it adds this little qualifying statement saying that he did what was right all the days of Jehoiada, the priest. Now, that sort of spells, you know, we're going to have a little trouble later on. Even though Joash raises funds to repair the temple and restore proper worship, when that old priest, Jehoiada, dies, well, Joash begins to follow the advice of others, and he actually permits idolatrous worship to resume. Jehoiada's son comes along and rebukes the king for this, but instead of repenting, Joash has that godly son stoned to death. Well, God then moves in judgment, and King Joash is assassinated. So what can we learn from history here? Well, this gives us a clear warning. Be careful who you listen to for advice. Don't invite into your life and listen to ungodly counselors. Well, with that, the son of Joash, Amaziah, takes the throne of Judah. He also starts out well, but he's not really sold out to the Lord. And we're told back here in 2 Kings, verse 4 of chapter 14, the people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. Now, if you go over to the parallel account in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 14, after Amaziah defeats the nation Edom, he takes their idols and he set them up as his gods, and worshiped them. Can you imagine defeating a pagan nation in battle and then choosing to worship their false gods? Frankly, that's about as idiotic a thing as you could ever do. So at the end of his life, unfortunately, tragically here, we're told in verse 27, he turned away from the Lord, and that's just like his father did. And just like his father, he's assassinated. So here's another lesson to learn from history. Half-hearted commitment in the present just might become wholehearted corruption in the future. Now, Amaziah's son, Azariah, better known to us as Uzziah, succeeds his father as Judah's king. And the book of 2 Kings gives us a brief overview of his reign. But over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, the parallel account, we're actually given a little more information. We're told that he begins his reign well. Verse 5 says here, he set himself to seek God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Now, Uzziah will reign for 52 years. He's going to experience one military victory after another. But then here in verse 16, we read this. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. For he was unfaithful to the Lord his God and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Now, here's what's happening. He's victorious, and he grows proud because of it. And now he assumes that he can do anything he wants to do. He can even take on the role of a priest, which is in defiance of God's law. Well, God strikes him with leprosy till the day he dies, and this uncleanness keeps him from ever entering the temple again. Uzziah basically had it all, but he was not content. And here's another lesson from history for all of us to learn today. It's possible to so want something we don't have that we lose the ability to enjoy what we do have. Well, now, in this parade of kings, the next man to sit on the throne is Jotham, Uzziah's son. The accounts we have of him in 2 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles chapter 27, they're rather brief, but they commend to us this king as a godly ruler. Verse 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 27 here sums up his reign by recording, Jotham became mighty because he ordered his ways before the Lord his God. So Jotham's life actually gives us yet another lesson from history. Here it is. It's possible to live an obedient life for God even though your parents lived in disobedience to God. And maybe for some of you today, that will matter tremendously and encourage you. Now, finally, both 2 Kings chapter 16 and 2 Chronicles chapter 28 recount the reign of Judah's king Ahaz, the son of Jotham. Now, neither book has anything good to say about this man. In 2 Kings chapter 16 and verse 2, we read, "He did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord." And let me tell you, that's quite an understatement. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we read in verse 2 that Ahaz made metal images for the Baals, and he made offerings in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his sons as an offering. Now, frankly, it's hard to imagine that a descendant of King David would sacrifice some of his own sons to a pagan god. Well, Ahaz's reign is marked by military defeat. God graciously attempts to get his attention, but Ahaz isn't interested in any kind of warning or message from God. And here's another lesson from history for us to learn today. To ignore God's warning is to guarantee even greater wandering in life. Now, Ahaz's reign is going to end after 16 years. Frankly, in God's providence and grace, his death is going to bring to the throne one of Judah's godliest kings. It's almost a surprise, but it's going to be a great blessing to the nation. We're going to have to wait for another time to meet him. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We hope this lesson has blessed you today as Stephen Davey continues teaching through God's Word on the wisdom journey. This lesson was called A Parade of Royal Heirs. We're able to bring you this wisdom journey because we have a team of financial supporters who make it possible. If you're able to make a donation to our ministry, we'd be grateful for that. Go to wisdomonline.org to donate online. There's a link in the show notes. And join us again next time as we continue along the wisdom journey.